Hey, so brother, come on up and get us kicked off.
Our place is right.
All right. It's either going to be a treat or a nightmare when something's going down. No, I really enjoy being able to come up and speak and share the wonderful grace of God, because so many people out there, the people in Facebook and people out there in these churches, really have no idea what we're talking about. And it becomes a motivator for me to try to share that. My messages tend to circle around the same stuff a lot because I see the need. I deal with it with clients. I deal with it in the world. And there's so many people that are not connected to their Savior. They may or may not be even saved, but they're definitely not connected to their Savior. And they're leading a life of real misery. And I want to change that. I want people to understand something different today. I do. I got a whole bunch of them over there. Somebody can get a handout to her. Alrighty. I do type this stuff up, so if you'd like a copy of it, they are available. That's the best way to share something with other people, if they have it in front of you. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word rightly divided, to begin to understand our relationship to God in a positive, grace-focused life. We hope that people will listen to these talks today and search them out. Search the Bible to see if it isn't true. Check everything I say to you to see if it isn't true. Because you need to understand your position in Christ and what it is for you today. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, this was entitled Religion versus True Spirituality, a Significant Difference. If you got your papers, we're going to read right along starting at the top. I do like to kill trees. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. I spend a lot of time with paper. I have a client who makes paper, so I have to use a lot. That's how it works. Modern Christianity has diluted and perverted many of the core elements of true spirituality. That is absolutely true, and we're going to see some of that today. Over time, the Christian church has moved further and further away from the type of spiritual life taught by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. He is our Apostle today. He is the one who brought the dispensation of grace, the mystery that was brought to the world. You would not have salvation by faith if it wasn't for Paul. He's the one who began to understand it. He's the one who was taught it, and he teaches us. That's so important to remember. You're not going to find salvation in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Salvation on the cross by your belief. That's not going to exist. It's only until Paul comes along. By doing so, many modern denominations are full of conditions and beliefs and rules that drive people apart and cause dissension between Christians, but more importantly, they're untrue. This study, we will look closely at some of these core elements and what the Bible has to say about them. This study can be a wake-up call for many of us who have harbored beliefs that have no spiritual basis. This paper is here to share with your friends. We all have friends and family and relatives who are very confused in their spirituality, and they live a miserable life, and they may even not be saved. Share this with them. The state of Christianity, the focus of the modern church. There are a number of elements that are common to many modern churches. First, they are often driven or headed up by a strong personality. Have we not seen that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm following Dr. So-and-so. I don't want anybody to pay attention to me. I'm pretty ugly. You're better off looking at your papers. But seriously, it's not about me. It's not about the preachers. It's not about pastor. It's about the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, it's about what we teach and where to find it in the Bible, not looking at somebody up here in the pulpit, okay? Let's understand that. This is true for both local churches as well as regional and national denominations. Unfortunately, you might want to mark this down on your, put a line in there, that's why I have a pen. Unfortunately, when the church is focused on individuals and not the Word of God, the message begins to erode and truth is lost.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. Okay? Let's take a look at some verses here. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. Get your Bibles out. I'm going to have you guys read some of these. I'll read this first one to get you warmed up. Preach the word, and be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the times will come, and we're here now, folks, for the times will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap on themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Let's talk about the money, hey? Let's talk about this huge church with 8,000 people in it, and the building we got to do. The focus is in the wrong place. There is no tithing today in the dispensation of grace. I know that's going to rattle some cages, but I'd be glad to explain that to you in detail later if somebody has a question about it.
Yeah, but to explain what your teaching just this morning, a friend of mine, I sold him a nice mattress this past week, and he was telling me, be baptized for it. I was baptized
yep.
Sunday morning.
Right. To be saved, you got to be baptized. Wow. How wrong that is. Again, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman. Okay, then not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are divisions in the Bible we need to understand. Not that the Bible isn't all for us, because it is. But we need to understand what is to us today. What are we supposed to understand today? How do we live today? We can learn from all the Bible, including the Old Testament, Genesis, you name it, everything. We can learn about God, His nature, sin, and lots of wonderful things. But we need to understand what is for us today. And that's the dispensation of grace. This is how doctrine gets distorted, I've written down. People begin to focus on teachers and teachings and not the Word of God. I keep popping this down. There we go. And not the Word of God. The Bible can and must be taken literally. That's right. Absolutely where it's at. Okay? And that's important to understand. Because if you don't understand rightly dividing the Word of truth, you're going to take stuff from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when they were trying to set up a kingdom, and you're going to try to apply it today, and it ain't going to work. And you're going to get frustrated, and you're going to get confused, and it's going to be a lot of things. We're going to talk about that as we go along here. There are no conflicting doctrines or issues when the Bible is studied dispensationally. You don't have to say, what the verse really means is this. How many times do you hear that from the pulpit? They read a verse, and they go, what God is saying is this, and they take it somewhere else.
What he really means.
Yeah, what he really means. Let's interpret it for God. No, what he really means is what he wrote. But understand who it's written to. Understand the time period it's written to. And when you do, it all clarifies itself. The leader of the church should be a reflection of God and Christ. That's what a leader of a church should be. In the greatest sense, they should be transparent, delivering God's message, not their own. They should be secondary to all God's teachings and a servant of the people. This is also why there are so many different jobs and individuals involved in a ministry, not just a pastor. I know all of us here do different things in this get-together, this gathering, and it's a wonderful thing. Somebody go to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, if you would read that. I'll sip my healthy beverage while you're doing that.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Keep on to 13.
Till we all come to the unity of faith and all of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Exactly. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We all have different skills. We all have different abilities. We all bring different things to the table in this grouping. I would call it a congregation, call it a study group, whatever you want to call it. It's easy for me to get up here and talk. I'm not afraid to do that. And I love sharing my faith and my understanding of the Bible. Some people, they can't get up and talk in front of a group. It's difficult. But they make some really wicked food when it comes to... I'm looking at Sylvia going, yes, okay, unique dishes. The point is, we all have different strengths. Some people are great at edifying one another, meeting one another, shaking hands, connecting folks, making it happen. We all have different skills. And we bring those to the table, and a wonderful thing in the body of Christ. None is more valuable than the next. Understand that. Teaching is not more valuable than the other things that are done. They're all the same. And we do it what? For the edification of the body of Christ until what? Until it's over. Until the fullness of the knowledge. So we're wrapped right out of here. We all help one another. That's where our heart should be and our focus should be. Not on, I'm better than you. Modern religion, I'm sure we're not going to get through all this. It's only 9 hours worth. But anyway, modern religion is all about, I'm better than them. Look at that denomination. They do that. Look at those folks. They go to movies. Look at those people. They do this. Instead of the love of Christ, which constrains us or causes us or motivates us to be with one another and to love others. Do I agree with everybody and everything that other people teach? No. But the basics are important. The dispensation of grace, the mystery, understanding where my salvation comes from. After that, we can all chat forever about different things. And I love you for it. It doesn't matter that you disagree with me. It's okay. Okay? Very important to understand these things. We are servants and deliverers of God's message. Our goal should be to reach one another with the message of grace, not, circle that if you would, not the message of self-recognition. This is how the saints become perfected. Not focused on yourself, but on helping and dealing with others. This is what true edification is all about. When we do this faithfully, We truly represent God in the world. However, we can only do this if you're a new creature in Christ. Okay? Unfortunately, a lot of folks in modern religion are not saved at all. They're focused on the modern religion. They're not focused on the accepted, finished work of Christ. Let's understand where salvation comes from. Christ died, was buried, was resurrected for our justification. We have to accept that, okay? It was done. The world was reconciled when Christ was on the cross. Now, whether you participate in that is your choice. Do you understand? You have to say, yes, I will believe that. Yes, I accept that. Yes, that becomes part of my nature because that's what God's program is. If I don't accept that, I'm not saved. And if I say, oh, I can't be saved because I got to do this and this and this first to clean up my act, we are in trouble. God doesn't care where your act is. He wants you to come to a recognition and an acceptance of the finished work of His Son on the cross. Jesus came, He died, was buried, and was resurrected for your justification. Complete. We're going to get to some verses today to understand that. Complete. There is nothing more you can do. You can't polish yourself up again. And after you're saved, you can't be better or worse depending on and get blessings from God. We're going to get to all of that. It's about being saved and perfected, and now you're in the body of Christ. And we are all here in the body of Christ, those of us that are saved. I think everybody. We share love with one another. Let's look at some verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 20. Somebody chime it out, and let's be loud.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Stop for a second. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Do you believe that I am totally new in Christ? Yep. I am. Thank God I am. Because in the world, I'm not so new anymore. Well, I'm pretty old, but not only that, my sin nature, combination of the two, I'm not new on my own, but in Christ I'm a new creature. Perfected before God. Think about that for a minute. Talk about motivation. Continue on.
And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
This is one of my favorite verses. Next, read it.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
All right, let's go back to verse 19 a second. We're never going to get to all this today, I'm quite sure of it. To wit, that God was in Christ. Think about that a minute. God wasn't up there standing and watching this. He was in Christ. Did God go through the pain? I don't know the details, but I know He was in Christ, reconciling the world. How much more intimate can that be than your Creator in Christ reconciling the world? It can't get any more intimate. And you know what? Our salvation is because of that intimacy too. We accept the finished work of Christ. Nobody knows what's in my heart. Nobody knows what's in anybody's heart. It is a personal, a very personal thing we do. Remember, the Jews did sacrifices. There were all sorts of things that led up to this, but now it's one-on-one. God came down and did it. We are participating in that with Him. Do you think that's an incredible place to be? I mean, I don't cry, but let's just get better. Unfortunately, many ministries in the modern church are not focused in the right place. They are not focused in the right place. Understand that. They're all about building bigger churches, gaining recognition for individuals, and delivering the message of reconciliation. Then delivering the message of reconciliation. They're all about making it good. Now, I wouldn't mind having a pizza or two if you want to bring one.
Kind
of recognize my lust for pizza. That would be nice. But other than that,
the great pizza ministry.
That's right. It's not about churches. It's not about building. It's not about money. It's not about anything. It's about what? That all men would see and come to a saving knowledge in Christ. And then what? And then learn. Okay? This is what we're doing here, is learning. And people at home are going to see. We're learning. We're edifying ourselves. We're learning more. We're beginning to connect those dots better so that we can what? Be ambassadors and share it with the world. Okay? Be an ambassador. Verse 20 says, now that we are ambassadors for Christ, what are the people out here explaining it? What are the people out here that can explain what's going on and what it means to be saved? That's what we do. All right, man's religion, let me get rid of the tears here, Man's religion focuses on ego, man-made rules, arbitrary standards, and judgment. Wow, look at the Middle East. Talk about judgment. My God. Obviously, that has nothing to do with Christianity, but they're judging each other like crazy. Look at the different churches in America. Judge each other. Okay? Where's the focus? When you're judging people, guess what? Your focus is on you, not the love of Christ. If I'm passing judgment on somebody, I'm passing judgment because of me, not because of God. God says, I don't care where you come from. I don't care if you've done this, 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 and we've talked about this in your report. You're a killer. If you understand the finished work of Christ, you can be saved.
And
trust it, yeah. It has nothing, yeah, it more than had knowledge, but yes, trust it. I mean, that's the reality. So when you meet somebody you may not agree with, are you meeting them and going, hey, I may not agree with what you do, but I love you. You follow me? How can I help you? What can I do for you? Whatever the opportunities might be, instead of, you're like this, get out of here. That's modern religion, okay? True spirituality, however, designed by God, not man, we can't do this. If it wasn't for God, we couldn't even be here. Focuses on spiritual enlightenment, personal growth, and edification. That's what we teach here. It is not judgmental, but includes all and accepts each individual wherever they are spiritually. Okay? Beyond salvation, I may understand some things deeper and understand things differently than you might. I've learned from pastor. I've learned from all sorts of people. What I used to believe, I've learned and grown and now know more. My salvation was because of my faith in the finished work and my trust in Christ. But after that, I continue learning. And we're all at different places, okay? So do we come to each other and go, you didn't know that? Are you crazy? Or do you say, hey, wow, let me share this with you, okay?
Crazy.
That's it. Crazy is a good thing, okay? Salvation and eternal security, big issue in the modern church. Let's take a look. A significant portion of the modern church feels that an individual can lose their salvation by not living or acting a certain way after being saved.
Mm.
Everybody's amening that one.
Yeah,
they've been down that road. They may not come out and say this, but if you were in their congregation and fell into some form of sin that they could judge, they would either say, one, you never were really saved.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that one, okay? Or that God is judging you. Mm-hmm. In truth, Christians who love the Lord can be caught up in the world. Has that ever happened? I think I have the t-shirt. No, wait a minute. I have a drawer full of t-shirts. Okay? Yep, been down that road. Couples. Oh my God, I can clothe everybody in here. Okay? And be completely out of the fellowship of God. I'm going to draw on the board here if I can find one of these that works. This is one of Irma's favorite diagrams. That's life. Okay? God says, hey, I got this great idea. Why don't you live in here? This is some good stuff, Dave. You know, hang out here. This is good stuff. Dave says, yeah, I'm getting this. Okay, guys. Ooh, but this looks pretty good over here. But, oh, that's kind of fun. Oh, it tastes good. Feels good. Oh, my God. Let's try this one. And let's try this one. Guess what? When I'm out of the will of God, I punish myself. God doesn't punish me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not God punishing you. It's you. He said, hey, this is the smart way to live. And I said, I got it. My ego. I got this guy. No big deal. I can handle this. Oh, this won't hurt. This one, whatever it is, attitudes, experiences, it doesn't matter what it is. You follow me? You get out of that focus spot. And guess what? It's pretty miserable. And guess what? Things don't go well. And guess what? You get harmed. And guess what? Things happen. This is the reality we live in. God is telling us here. He does not punish us for this. We do it to ourselves. When we come back, just like the prodigal son, he's like, hey, Dave, how you doing? Good to see you again. He doesn't say, Dave, you did this and this and this. You got to make up for it, or else you can't come back.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the difference between understanding true spirituality. And that becomes our motivator. People going, oh, my God, I've been kicked out of churches because I taught this. And they said, you can't teach this because my people will live in sin. And I said, yeah, they might for a while. But if they understand true grace, they're going to be miserable. And they're going to come back. When you understand what God has already done for you, it's real hard to live over here for very long. You can step out. And let's put the hands up if we want to. We've all stepped out. Let's see. In the last 2 days, step out. Whatever. And there we go. Yeah, point some fingers. I like that, Scott. Good. The reality is...
Three points back at me.
Okay? We are motivated by the love of Christ. We are motivated by what God has already done for us. And we'll get to some verses about that, okay? Oh, let's see, where am I at? I totally lost all my piece of paper here. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Didn't make that focus. Like I said, we'll be done by 4 or 5 this afternoon, no problem. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, 33 through 39. Somebody read that for us. And this is interesting to read, because this is where this kind of contradicts what the church is telling you. Go on, somebody.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth.
Man, are we there? Or not? Keep going.
Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I don't like that sheep thing, but I don't know. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you a member of the body of Christ?
Absolutely.
You stand perfected before God. You are as righteous as God. You have to be in the body of Christ. That's our position. That's where we are spiritually when we accept the finished work of Christ and we have a faith in what he came to and did on the cross. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfected. I got written down here. Paul includes every type of possible power or issue that anyone could encounter. He goes through the list. Height, depth, you name it. It's all there. There's no sin or action you can do that will separate you from the love of Christ. Your sins will cause you to run from God and not enjoy close fellowship with him, but it will not separate you from God. Let's understand that. Okay? As a Christian, out of fellowship, you will lead a miserable and unhappy life, but this will be your own doing in God, and he'll be waiting for you when you come back home. Christ slew the enmity at the cross and delivered us from the devil. If we believe and have faith, we are taken out of the equation, never to return to a state of separation from God. Never to return to a state of separation from God. Let's get that understanding. Not that if I don't live just right, God's going to punish me. Or if I don't just live this way, no blessings are going to come along. How many of you have been down that road? Oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. It doesn't happen. And you spend your life miserable thinking, what sin do I have in my life I need to get rid of?
Wow.
There you go. Exactly. Let's blame the history. Yes, exactly. Very true. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 18. I'll read this one. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make himself a twain, a new man, and making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We've been talking about that. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them who were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
That's where you're at. Do you think that's a pretty good motivator for doing the right thing in the world?
No.
For doing the best you can? Are you going to fail? Absolutely. Are you going to miss opportunities? Absolutely. Are you going to get angry? Well, let's get to the real car here. Are you going to get mad at somebody? Absolutely. But the love of God motivates our focus and our direction. And yes, we're going to make mistakes, and we apologize for those, the people we do it to, and we move on. We don't spend our lives worrying about them. God's forgiven us for them. We need to apologize and make it right, but then we move on. Okay? Colossians 1, 13 to 14, somebody.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Do you feel that? Do you understand that position you're in? Do you understand how lucky we are? Irma and I have this conversation a couple times a week. The position we have in Christ is so amazing, and the love we have from God is so amazing. We're just sitting here going, I can't believe how good it is. You know, it's an amazing thing. But when you do understand how good it is, it then becomes your motivator. I then want to give back. I want to do the right thing. I want to do things for people. I want to help out. And there's opportunities all around us, you know. My employees jump on me all the time. Dave, you're too nice. Dave, you're giving away the shop. Dave, everybody owes you money. Dave, okay? You know what? God blesses me. And if I can help somebody who's in a jam, I'm going to help them. Period. And what I'm going to do with that is share the love of Christ along with it. I'm going to say, hey, yeah, you know what? I'm going to help you out here. But this is about the love of Christ. This is about doing the right thing because it is the right thing to do. You know? And people begin to see little pieces of that. And maybe you can bring somebody to a knowledge of Christ. You never know. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't happen. You plant the seed, you leave it alone and let it go.
Amen.
It's not about notches on the belt. I've got 16 people I've saved. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that at all. You know? It's about giving back what we've already been given. Our salvation is complete and secure. I've got it written down. It's not dependent on our ability to carry out a perfect life. Because it is complete and a new creature in Christ, it has the power to change our lives. You see the difference? We don't work for completion. We don't work for perfection. We have it. And now we just reflect that love back to the world. It is that simple. But it is also very hard for a lot of people. Because that means you got to let your ego go. That means you can't say, I'm better than them. I mean, you know, I'm losing weight. My pants are getting loose. I'm getting real sexy here. I'm changing everything here.
That pizza guy.
Yeah, look at me. Yeah, that's the I cut out bread, actually. But I haven't had pizza in a while. It's kind of sad. But anyway, the reality is I don't care. It's more healthy for me. That's it. But you know what? Do not focus on you being better than others because we're all the same. Focus instead on what God has done for you that you can go out and help others. It's a great way to live. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot better to live that way. Yes, Jerry?
Well, just keep in mind there's none good, no, not one.
No, not one. Absolutely. Yep. Romans chapter 6. Let's take a look at the verse here. Chapter 6, verse 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
So where we're at. Sure. Do we step out of this?
Of course.
I know some of you are saying, no way, never. I got it. Okay, great. No, the reality is we all do. Every day. Every moment. If you're awake, you're sinning. And if you think about it too hard, you're going to be jumping way out here. Okay? That's the reality of all of us. That's our experience in life. Our condition is perfected. We're seated at the right hand of God. We are in Christ. It's a done deal. Our living lives is not such a done deal. But it is the sin, not I, but the sin inside me that does it. We understand that. That allows us to stay focused in the right place. It allows us to keep that focus up. I've written down, if salvation was conditional, then why would Christ have died? If salvation was not eternal security, then what did Christ accomplish? To be viable and valid, it must be total and complete. Any degree short of that, it's an insult to the finished work of Christ. Now, you want to control people? Absolutely. Tell them, if you don't do this and this and this, God is going to harm you. You're going to be hurt. This is not going to work out for you. I don't care what you want to do with your family and this and that. It's going to fail if you're not in the right place. You want to control people? That guilt, that fear is amazing. That is all totally wrong. I believe that's satanic. When a church is based on works and performance, you're taken away from the finished work of Christ, period. Now, when you talk about that, I have had the pleasure of being kicked out of 3 different churches.
Okay, which, congratulations.
Yeah, it started when I was 19, believe it or not. I was very young. Anyway, you start teaching that. You start teaching the finished work of Christ and you being in Christ and your motivation being because of the love of Christ as an ambassador for Christ, and you're no longer under the thumb. That's very uncomfortable for a lot of people. Okay? I had a pastor come to me and say, you can't teach that. And I said, but it's in the Bible. This is the truth. This is the reality. This is the dispensation of grace. Blah, 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 blah. He said, you can't teach that because my people will live in sin. He was fearful that his congregation would become sin nature because of better understanding.
They always live in sin.
Yeah, that's true. Jimmy's like, we're always living in sin. But you know what? The only thing that motivates is the love of Christ. I'm not motivated by money. Pizza, maybe. Okay, I can give that a little motivation action. Okay, spaghetti.
Yes.
This is the only thing I've got fully paid for. Okay. Spaghetti. It doesn't matter. There's a motivation, but the reality is, it's the love of Christ. Okay, That's what we need to go. Stop laughing, everybody. Okay. Understanding blessings in our lives. This is important. And people out there in Facebook land are seeing this and going, okay, I'm getting some of this, but this is crazy. But let's look at it closer now. Understanding blessings in our lives. This is another area that has been significantly altered by the original teachings for most of the church. Christians work hard to live godly lives for the wrong reasons. Ooh. I've got that bolded for the wrong reasons. They feel that if they are good, God will bless them. The problem is that when they are working hard and don't get blessed, they either feel like they've failed or are not spiritual enough.
Wow.
Been there, done that. Oh, when I was young?
I was there.
I was always afraid. This is a sad story. I was always afraid my car would break down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I was young and I had a car. And I was, unfortunately, looking at young ladies and, you know, it wasn't healthy. And so I was sure God was going to punish me by breaking my car. That was a fear I had for a long time. I don't fear that anymore. I'm not saying I don't look, but I don't fear that breaking car anymore. They feel they have to be good to be blessed by God. The problem with this is that when they are working hard and don't get blessed, they either feel that they have failed or not spiritual enough. If we are to work for our blessings, then where do we stand with God? We are complete in Christ. Here's the great thing I want to explain. Here's what happens. This is good. A friend of mine told me this years ago, and it makes a lot of sense. God pours the blessings out to us. It's like a UPS driver comes to the door, knocks on the door. Hey, Dave, I got this blessing. Check this out. Guess what? If I don't answer the door, if I'm not in fellowship with God, if I'm focused in the wrong place, if I'm not really focused where I need to be, I'm going to miss it. The UPS guy that delivers blessings doesn't leave the box. You got to sign for it. Okay? So God's like that. He delivers things to us all the time in many, many ways. I had a situation this week with a client, with a business, that things were going great, and all of a sudden we had to shift the name of a project. We had to shift the name because somebody evil jumped on the website, stole the web name, and did some crazy things with it. Which is fine, because we're ending up with a better name. We're ending up with a better name for this film, for the show, whatever, okay? We've had to shift, and now it's even a more encompassing name. Now it's an even more blessed name. And it was, you know, was that God punishing us? No, that was the world. Okay, things happen for the good, even though sometimes we don't see it. Okay? If salvation was conditional, I'd get right now. Any degree short of that is an insult to the finished work of Christ. I'm going back from. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. This is one of our favorite verses. This absolutely capsulizes it all. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite verse. And people go, what's your favorite verse? This is it right here.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Wonderful. Carl, it's great to hear you. First one, boy, this is my favorite. Which is your reasonable service? It's reasonable to do this, given all that God has done for us. It makes sense. Why would your logic be anywhere else? That's what it's all about. Okay? Many members, different body. In the body of Christ, we all have different skills. We all have different levels. Look closely at this passage I have written. We are to live for God because it is reasonable to do so. It makes sense. In other words, we live godly lives based on what God has already done for us. Not what we're going to get. Also, goes on to tell us that we are humble, to be humble and recognize that we have different measures of faith. We all have different skill sets. We all have different measures of faith. Do not be judgmental. Be humble. What a place to be, okay? I got to get rid of my tears here. Sorry, folks. Hard to read stuff. Does it say that some are weaker than others? No. Or that some are not equal? No. It says we are all different in many ways and strengths, but still members of the body of Christ. That's where we stand. We are all connected to one another. We are all part of the collective body of Christ. We are all equal in God's eyes. Now apply this to the blessings. God blesses all of us. The only thing that's different is whether or not we're in fellowship with God to enjoy that blessing. And notice it. Take advantage of it. Okay? It's as simple as that. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's continue on before I run out of time. We're doing good, I think. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 7. Here Anyone?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
So,
to the praise of the glory of his grace, therein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
How much more can you pack into five verses?
Wow.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, understand that, hath blessed us. Done. Finished. You don't work for it. It's there. It's complete. And why? Hath blessed us in heavenly places in
Christ.
That's where we're at. That's why we're blessed. That's why we have them. Okay? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, 9, 4 through 9. I'm going to read those. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together in Christ. By grace you're saved. Again, remember, if you're not in the body of Christ, the body of Christ paid for the sin. The body of Christ went through that. That's the mechanics of salvation. You have to be in the body of Christ or you're not saved. Okay? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, I'm already there. I still got this body to get rid of. But spiritually, I'm already in heaven. I'm in a wonderful place. And I'm not just in heaven. I'm in Christ. And I'm not just in Christ. I'm at the right hand of God. And I'm not just at the right hand of God. I'm as perfect as God himself. I'm as righteous as God because of the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
And that's where I'm at. That in the ages to come, he might show exceeding the riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. Everybody reads these verses, but do they understand it? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Period. I can't work for it. I can't get it any other way than accepting the finished work of Christ. Do I put my faith and my trust? I like that, Scott, throwing trust in there. Make sure you get it right. My faith and my trust in the finished work of Christ. You know? Because we say faith all the time. What does that mean? That means trust. Yeah. You don't have to trust. If you don't put yourself in there. I am set for eternity in a great place. You know, if I crash my car tomorrow, if I break my leg, if I do all the stupid things I do, I'm still set for eternity in a wonderful place. Hath blessed me, not will bless me. Understand the difference. Hath means it's already there. It's done. It's complete. It's finished. Not big, live well, or else. Okay? That's the misconception of the church, okay? Notice that both these texts have, some I've written down here. Wonderful thing's not that he will, but that it's already done. This is why it is a reasonable service, going back to the other verses, to live for God. The freedom from sin that we now enjoy should be enough to bless us for eternity. However, for God, it's just the start. Let's go to Colossians real quick, chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Buried with him in baptism, wherein we also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Remember we talked about that? Here's how it works. To whom, I know you guys are going to give me some figures here in a minute. I'm running out of time here. To whom he hath raised up from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. We should feel blessed every minute of every day forever. That's a 20-minute sign. That's great, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm sure I can wrap it up in 20. All right. The confusion of prayer. This is in the modern church a lot. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom age. God came here to deal with the Jews. Jesus did not come for us. Sadly, many Christian churches have taught that if you pray about something and have enough faith or enough people praying about it, that you can arm wrestle God into doing it their way.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they think. Prayer warriors. Get my prayer warrior chain going here so that, you know, yeah, you've been there, okay? When these prayers are not answered, they find themselves over time being frustrated and even angry with God. How many people have you met, especially older people, older people who do not have a relationship with Christ get angry as they get older. God didn't do this. Why didn't he do this? Etc., etc., etc. Okay? Hey, guys? There's some papers right there. Grab one as we're studying. A lot of confusion comes from trying to take the kingdom age command and apply it to the current dispensation of grace. There's some examples here you can take a look at. We're running out of time, so I won't get into them. Where they talked about, if you do this, you'll have this. If you do this, you'll have this. You'll be able to, you know, pick up serpents. You'll be able to pray and people will be healed. All that stuff's the kingdom age. If you don't understand, you're in trouble. How are we to pray today? Let's look at Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. Someone read those. Well, yeah, 17 minutes left. So I'll need that. All right. Romans 8, 26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray, or as we ought, but the Spirit itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he make intercessions for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay. We focus on prayer, but do we go to specifics? You did fine, Scott. Do we go to specifics and go, I want a new car, I need this done, no. Pray without ceasing. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ concerning you. You feel that way? I do. I don't pray for specific things. I pray that God's will be done. And you know what? I pray so that I focus on it. It's God's will. It's going to happen, okay? I pray so that it's going to get a focus here. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, I'd like to have this. I need this. I'm sick. I'm sore. Whatever it is.
Sure.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why? Because it's focusing back on the fact that God's in charge. God's got this, okay? The thing that happened this week with that client and changing the name of the show, better name. God was in control of that, okay? It was some evil people that did it. But guess what? We're in better shape. That's really wonderful, okay? Do you understand that? Do you accept that? Do you live by that? Because guess what? When you do that, there's a whole lot less stress in your life. I have a thing called the three-day rule. I'll pass this on to you. Unless somebody's bleeding out, okay, or the building's on fire, when a problem comes up in business or in personal life, I give it 3 days. You know why? Because in 3 days, one, it either solves itself, which it does most of the time, or two, it's a real obvious direction you need to go after 3 days. Okay? So why stress? God's got this 3 day rule. My employees use that too. Boss, I've got this problem, 3 day rule. Okay? You know, and they go on and do things. It's amazing because God's in charge. And if I recognize that, I have peace. And I can stay focused in the right place. Let's go down to the bottom of your page here. We'll skip a couple of verses. True spirituality. True spirituality is a result of learning. That's what we're doing here. Studying and letting the grace of God rule in your life. It's that simple. That's where the joy is. That's where being able to spend your life in a place of greatness and goodness and giving and sharing and making a difference. And opportunities will come around. Keep your eyes open. Opportunities are everywhere. Okay? True spirituality is grounded in love, where a relationship with God begins. It's not grounded in anything else I want. Okay, 10 more minutes, God. Okay. It is not focused on the individual or the church or denominations, but on Christ and the message of reconciliation to the world. Ephesians 3:9 will end here. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, that's understanding your Bible. That's studying. That's what we do in this class. So we take it beyond simply a knowledge of Christ dying on the cross. But what does it mean? What does it mean in my life? How can I give it to others? What is the depth of all that, okay? Fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principles and powers and heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We can share the wisdom of God with the world, because we know it. Do we know it all? No, we keep studying. We get more, and we get more, and we get more. And sit near Scott, you'll get a lot, just from him commenting on things, too, giving classes.
It's a wonderful day.
It is. Appreciate it. This is what it boils down to. Are you religious or spiritual?
Spiritual.
Yeah. Are you saved by faith? To be sanctified by works? That's modern religion, folks. That's where it is all the time. Does your eternal salvation rest in your faith in God's grace? Or are you not sure your faith is enough? You need to explore yourself. You need to understand it. Do you frustrate the grace of God by living out of some fear and some performance standards? I hope not. But sadly enough, many, many, millions and millions and millions of people do. Or are you motivated, given your spiritual state, to reflect God's love back to the world, which is your reasonable or logical and emotional reaction to all that God has done for you? Okay? God has given us last paragraph. All we need to live a joy-filled life. The only thing that stops us from doing this is our misguided understanding of the simple and complete and beautiful position He gives us in Christ by His grace. You want to be unhappy? Don't understand that. When you understand that, you can be nothing but happy. It's the way it works. Step outside the box of religion and enter the world of true spirituality and enjoy all that God has for you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the study. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share these things. Help each of us this week share what we know, reflect that love back to the world. There's going to be somebody we come in contact with who's hurting or needs something and wants to understand more. Give us the strength, the ability, and the mindset to share with them what we know so that we can help others understand this as well and share the love of Christ throughout the world. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate it.